The fruits of pride. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That is quite a list of sins. Bad to worse, they're all the same. They're all evil in the sight of God. One that jumps out, disobedient to parents. Under the old law, if children were disobedient to parents, what was done to them? They were stoned to death. God is serious about sin. So we're going to look at the fruits of pride. In verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Pride is something that's going to sneak up on us. When we think that we have things in control and we leave one spot that's open, that is where Satan is going to strike and attack us. So what does pride look like? Well, there are different types of pride. There's what we might call face pride. That's how we look, how we dress. Race pride, that's racial prejudice. Grace pride, feeling that we are better than others because we go to church. All of that pride is wrong. And God says to us, I will bring you down. When we exalt ourselves, God is going to bring us down. Jesus said concerning the publican, who was humble in his attitude when he went to pray at the temple, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Luke 18:14. And Peter wrote, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Pride, we don't talk about it much. We don't think of it. Sometimes we think of big sins and little sins. We don't talk about pride much. When I was looking for material to put this sermon together, there's not an abundance of material out there because we just don't talk about it much. But pride is known as one of the seven deadly sins. It's rarely mentioned in discussions regarding the building of Christian character. We talk about we need to be more loving, we need to be more giving. We don't talk about we need to get rid of our pride. Now, we all must have a sense of self-respect. We learn to take pride in our appearance so that we dress nice, so that we don't dress like what we would say a slob or a bum. We maintain our cars, our homes. We try to keep our lawns respectable. We don't have 3-foot tall weeds out in front of our house. However, when self-respect becomes exaggerated, pride develops, and man begins to think too highly of himself. And pride is an avenue of temptation. In describing how the devil tempts men to sin, John includes vainglory or pride of life. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There are many things in life which men take pride. Through these avenues, the devil tempts us. Some take pride in their appearance. Sometimes you see people, they just dress like they're a model and they don't like anything out of place. Some take pride in their education. You talk to them, you meet them, you talk to them for 2 minutes and they've told you all the universities they've gone to and all the degrees they have. Some take pride in their race, in their job. They let you know they're a vice president of this or that. They take pride in their possessions. They want you to know how many houses they have, how many cars, how many vacation houses. They brag about these things and want to display these things to others. That's pride. And we could say, well, I don't have any of that. So pride's not a problem for me. When we look at pride, pride is both positive and negative. To be proud, exalted. The word appears in Exodus 15:1 in the sense of to be exalted. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. So this is where the word is used in a positive sense. There's another form of this word that's used poetically, and it's found only in the poetic books and the prophets. It's found 12 times in Isaiah. It's found in Moses' song, Exodus 15:7, and it signifies a man of great learning. So someone that had great learning was exalted. There is pride in that. In a positive sense, this word signifies excellence or majesty, God's majesty. God's majesty was expressed in Israel's deliverance through the Red Sea. He delivered them. Israel is redeemed people then is considered to be an expression of God's majesty. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Psalm 47:4. And a lot of these words are closely related, talking about pride. But there's also this word that is used the majority of the times in a negative sense. And they connote human pride. Human pride. Human pride is the opposite of humility. Proverbs 16:8 puts this together with arrogance, evil behavior, perverse speech. In her independence from the Lord, Israel as a majestic nation, having been set apart by a majestic God, had turned aside and claimed its excellence as a prerogative earned by herself. Look what we did. Look what we did. This attitude of insolence was not tolerated by God. I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. Amos 6:8. Friends, God does not want us to have pride in this sense. He wants us to be humble. As we talked about this morning, sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. We worship him in our hearts. We submit to him. We do what he wants us to do. Now, the Septuagint translation has the word hubris. And sometimes you'll hear this mentioned on the news, people talking about hubris. This means arrogance, haughtiness, pride. Isaiah 9:9, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that they say in the pride and stoutness of heart, they had hubris. This is from the Greek pride, insolence, outrage. It describes a personality quality of extreme or excessive pride, overconfidence. The term arrogance comes from the Latin meaning to feel that one has a right to demand certain attitudes and behaviors from other people. To arrogate means to claim or seize without justification. I can do this, I can take this, I can do this no matter what, just because I want to. God says do this, I'm going to do this instead. It's pride. Again, the term hubris originated in ancient Greek. It had several different meanings depending on the context. In legal usage, it meant assault or sexual crimes and theft of public property. And in religious usage, it meant transgression against a god. So this is a Greek word, ancient Greek. So when you look at the Greek culture, one of the things that they had, they believed in, were all of these gods that they created. They worshiped gods. They worshiped idols. The word hubris was used to describe transgressions against the gods. A common way that hubris was committed was when a mortal claimed to be better than a god in a particular skill or attribute. Claims like these were rarely left unpunished. And so a talented young weaver was transformed into a spider when she said that her skills exceeded those of goddess Athena, even though her claim was true. So that's Greek mythology. But they understood this arrogance. Someone describing a transgression, this word describing a transgression against a god. Now we look at the Greeks and we might look down on them because of their mythology and all the gods that they believed in, but we need to look at this point here for a minute. This was a word to describe transgressions against their gods. Well, there's a word to describe our transgressions against our God. It's pride. When we have pride, we transgress God's law and think that it doesn't apply to us. In the New Testament, an example of pride is recorded in Acts 12. King Herod killed James, the brother of John. He then put Peter in prison, planning to kill him. The Lord delivered Peter. Later, King Herod went to Caesarea. And if you recall back several Sunday evenings when I did the lesson on the defenses of Paul and his journeys from Jerusalem to Rome, and we looked at Caesarea Philippi, where that was one of the palaces of Herod. Later, King Herod went to Caesarea. There, Herod arrayed himself in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, made an oration to the people. They shouted, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." Herod accepted their worship. God smote Herod because he did not give God the glory. And then he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Acts 12:23. And when you read that account, sometimes we think that he died and then the worms ate him. When you look at it closely, it sounds more like he died because worms were eating him to death. He died a slow, painful death because he did not give God the glory that God deserved. He took it away from him. We can take glory away from God today. Truly, his pride preceded his destruction in the most literal sense. So pride's an exaggerated opinion of oneself. Proverbs 21:4, a haughty look, a proud heart, the plowing of the wicked are sin. It's the mark of a generation without reverence for God. Proverbs 30:13 and Romans 1:30, it stems from a corrupt heart. Mark 7:21 through 23, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, here's our word, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So it stems from a corrupt heart. And somebody will say, "Are you telling me that I've got a corrupt heart?" Friends, if my heart is not pure, if my heart is not following what God wants me to follow, then yes, my heart has been corrupted. It's been corrupted. I've allowed Satan to come into me. Just like that man with the armor on, and that arrow came right through that eye slit and got him. So what are some of the fruits of pride? We're talking about the fruits of pride. Well, consider pride dethrones God in one's heart. Romans 1:30. Paul describes the Gentiles as despiteful, proud. The word despiteful means an insolent man, one who uplifted with pride either heaps insulting language on others or does them some shameful act of wrong. The basic evil of hubris is that when hubris enters into a man's heart, that man forgets that he is a creature and that God is the creator. We always need to remember our relationship to God. He's the creator. We are the created. He speaks. We listen. Another fruit, he exalts himself. Paul told the Christian not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So we aren't to think too lowly, but we aren't to think too highly also. Proverbs 25:27, and it's not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. I found that to be an interesting verse. It's not good to eat much honey. You hear people talking about themselves and how good they are and how sweet, and they're just in love with themselves. It's not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. You're boasting what you're doing. You aren't boasting. You're really just showing people what you are. Putting oneself up on a pedestal, even if limited to a pedestal in one's own mind, is sinful and will lead to destruction. We've got to have the mind of humility, just like Christ when he left heaven to come down to this earth. Another fruit, pride develops an attitude of superiority toward others. When we think ourselves to be better than others, he begins to look down his nose at those he judges to be inferior to himself. His snobbish behavior makes him obnoxious to his fellow man. The description of four intolerable things in Proverbs 30:21-23, which describe men and women who, having been exalted, become proud. Another fruit, we become a braggart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. The man who's full of pride in his heart begins to brag that in which he takes pride. He becomes a boastful man, a braggart. Romans 1:30, 2 Timothy 3:2. This makes him more obnoxious to his fellow man. You see, some denominations, they brag about their building, they brag about their preacher, they brag about their choir, they brag about this, they brag about that. That's pride. That's the pride of life. When we have pride, we become self-willed. Proud men who exalt themselves and feel superior to their fellow man usually become self-willed men. They think, my way is the best. My way is the only way, my way or else, and this leads to contention, Proverbs 13:10. Strife, Proverbs 28:25. Wrath, 21:24. And sinful speech, Proverbs 14:3. Many churches across the country are torn asunder by proud, arrogant, self-willed brethren who would rather see the church divided than to give an inch on judgmental matters. Such men are not qualified to be leaders in the church, Titus 1:7. What's another fruit of pride? Pride prevents conversion. We've got to convert. We've got to repent. We've got to change. Repent or perish. In order for a man to enter the kingdom of heaven, he must be poor in spirit, Matthew 5:3. He must become as a child, Matthew 18:3. So long as man has the feeling that he's rich, increased with goods, has need of nothing, he will never recognize his true spiritual condition, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Revelation 3:17. Not sensing his need of salvation, and when he's feeling self-satisfied, the proud man will not seek forgiveness of his sins through Christ. And I tell you, pride is one of the reasons why a lot of people just don't see a need for Christ. They don't see a need to be a member of a church. They don't see a need to be a member of the Bible church. They're just so happy with everything that they have. Pride prevents confession of sins to God and others. Some people are too proud to admit that they were wrong. They lack the humility to go to those against whom they've sinned and say, "I've sinned against you, please forgive me." They refuse to bow their stubborn necks to God and seek his forgiveness. Humility in the world is confused with weakness in many people's minds. Pride prevents service to others. Some are too proud to do the menial task in serving the needs of others. Jesus took a towel and washed the disciples' feet. The proud man expects his feet to be washed. The proud man isn't going to lower himself to serve others. He's going to expect others to serve him. Another fruit of pride, it leads to destruction. The Proverbs repeatedly emphasize that pride precedes destruction. If we have pride in our life and we don't get rid of it, we know what our destination is going to be. It's going to be destruction. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. He that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Proverbs 17:19. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Before honor is humility. Proverbs 18:12. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 29:23. Paul warned, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10:12. There's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about pride. We just don't talk about it enough. So back to one of the slides I had at the beginning. What does pride look like? Let's put some faces on pride. You consider Moses. Moses was one of the most humble people there was, but he had pride in his life because he did not give God the glory when the water came out from the rock. King David, king of Israel, yet he thought he was above everyone else. He took another man's wife. He had that woman's husband murdered. He tried to cover up his sin. The prophet Nathan came to tell him a parable, and in that parable, David said, "The man that did this must surely die." You see, he had pride. I'm the king. Naaman. We know the story of Naaman. He had leprosy. And when this servant girl came to him from the prophet and she said, "You're supposed to go out and dip 7 times in the river," he didn't want to do that. We know the line from that, Behold, I thought, aren't those other rivers better? Why do I have to do this? Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in the world at the time, and God humbled him and made him wander and eat grass for 7 years until he learned that God reigns in the heavens. Peter, "Lord, I'll never deny you." And then what does he do? He denies him 3 times. The Pharisee that was praying. We looked at that passage earlier. I thank you that I'm not like this publican. I'm so much better than he is. Look at everything that I do. That's pride. That's a few examples of pride in the Bible. Well, what does pride look like? Let's look at an individual Christian. Maybe someone has some sin in their life and they think, I can overcome this. It's not going to bother me. And they keep on living. They'll read their Bible. They'll show up to services. They will do what looks right on the outside. But their heart, they've not sanctified the Lord God in their heart. And they have pride in their life. They have pride in their life. What's their end going to be? We know what their end's going to be. Destruction. What does pride look like? Let's look at it another way. Look at all of these churches that men built. The Roman Catholic Church, the Lutheran, the Church of England, Presbyterian, the Baptist, Methodist, Latter-day Saints, Seventh-day Adventists, Christian Scientists, Jehovah's Witnesses. And this is a short list. So are you saying, preacher, that these men that founded these were full of pride? I am. And the Bible is saying that. The Bible is saying that. Just back like to that Greek mythology, that hubris, where there was an offense against the gods because they were not submitting to the gods. These men, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, Joseph Smith, William Miller, Mary Baker Eddy, all of these people did not submit to God's word. They had pride in their life. And one of the problems when you have pride in your life, you don't just lose your own soul, but you think about these churches, and because of the pride in these people, how many people have followed these people for generations, and all the people that are lost because of the pride that this person had 500 years ago. So many souls are going to be lost because of pride. And I don't want to just point my finger at the denominations, because friend, just because a church has the name Church of Christ over the door, unless they are submitting to God, they are full of pride. They are full of pride. You say, how can I say that? Because if they were submitting to God, they wouldn't have all the inventions that have come in the last so many hundred years. And not only is an individual that's involved in that going to be lost, but everybody that is following that person, that preacher. And it's the blind leading the blind. So we've got to look back to this morning at sanctifying God in our hearts. Have we made him king? Is he sitting on the throne of our heart? Have we humbled ourselves? Have we submitted to him? What does pride look like? Well, we looked at some people from the Bible. We looked at these people here. What does pride look like? Then I've got to take a look at myself. I've got to look at myself. And I don't want to sound selfish, but you got to look at yourself. I'm concerned about myself. I can't save you. Carol tells me sometimes I try too hard because people are going to do what they want to do. I've got to save myself. But pride dethrones God in one's heart. Is God God in your life? Pride exalts oneself. Paul told the Christian not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Pride develops an attitude of superiority toward others. He becomes a braggart. He becomes self-willed. Pride prevents his conversion. He thinks he's fine in one of those denominations or in something else. Pride prevents confessions of sin to God and others. Pride prevents service to others. Pride leads to destruction. Friends, when you look at that list back in Romans chapter 1, we don't think of pride as being that bad, but it is something that is going to cost so many people their souls. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that has sin in your life, you need to repent of it, you need to make your life right, you need to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.